Afghanistan.
But is it the goal of this government, again, I don't mean to press this too hard, but are we aiming for bases in Saudi Arabia or in Egypt, a permanent American base there?
We believe that we can best deter any kind of Soviet adventures or attempted invasions aimed at the oil fields by that means, and we would only proceed further with that if it were acceptable to the host countries, to Saudi Arabia, and so on. We have a presence in Oman now, and it is, I think, essential that we increase that. Primarily, this is because of the need to reinforce groups that could be divisions or units that could be projected there very rapidly under the plans that we're now making. That's a long supply line, 7,000 miles, and it's essential that we close that distance by having some kind of physical presence much closer than that. And so, yes, I think it's essential that we have the facilities of that kind to carry out that policy, which is very much in our national interest and indeed in the interest of all of our NATO allies.
Could we help deter Soviet activity in that area by feeding some underground supplies to the Afghanistan rebels?
Well, I think anything that would discourage the Soviets from further adventurism would be a very useful thing to try to do. How that is done and the way in which it's accomplished depends a great deal on the circumstances of each case, and the example you mentioned could only succeed if it were acceptable to the Afghanistan rebels.
Have you any reason to think it's not?
We cannot force our presence anywhere where it is not desired unless there's some actual war underway, which is the thing, of course, we're trying to deter.
Secretary Weinberger, has the decision been made to send arms to the Afghanistan rebels by the United States?
I don't think specifically, no. And again, it would only be on request.
How about the Soviet aid to the rebels and insurgents in our own hemisphere? In that very chair last week, Mr. Besmiertnik, the chargé d'affaires of the Soviet embassy, said it was James Bondish nonsense to say that any Soviet arms were going, however indirectly, to the rebels in El Salvador.
Well, unfortunately, I'm afraid that this is once when fact may be stranger than James Bond fiction, but we believe the facts show incontrovertibly that there is Soviet compliance with the delivery of and Soviet complicity with the delivery of arms that is coming through via Cuba to into El Salvador, and we think that it has to be something which we take very seriously because this is in effect on our mainland.
Is it still going on?
Yes, I think it's slowed down, and I hope it continues to slow and stops. But you see, this is not a new American policy. This is a policy which we recognized back in the days of President Monroe was something that could not be tolerated. And that's essentially all that this is. It's an extension of statements that several administrations running all the way back in our history have always made.
Mr. Secretary, do you believe that the American people are now willing to accept the death or the injury of a American advisor, trainer, a soldier, call him what you will, in a foreign country? And if that happens, what will the reaction of the United States be? Will we pull the trainers out, the advisors? And would not the death of one of these advisors create a reaction within the country that would be detrimental to your plans for a broadened defense?
I would hope not. I don't think necessarily so. What we have in El Salvador at the moment is about 50 people who are indeed advisors and trainers, people who are advising in such matters as logistics and operation of some small naval vessels of the El Salvadorians, training in helicopters, training in tactics, deployment, supply, things of that kind. They are all under very careful instructions to remain in areas where they likelihood of their being injured in combat is minimized to the greatest extent that can be done. There is no way of eliminating all risk, even in this country, or people get hurt in training, people get hurt in all manner of activities. And while San Salvador may appear on a map to be somewhat safer than some of the areas where there are guerrilla concentrations, people have been injured and hurt in this activity that's going on in the city of San Salvador. So what we have done is everything that we possibly could do to ensure that they are there in a training capacity only, that there are very few of them, They're all volunteers, and the Salvadorian government has advised that this is all that they believe they will need. And what we very much hope is that their mission can succeed and that they can give needed strength and support to the Salvadorian government to the point where they will be able themselves to resist these attempts at adventurism which originate in the Soviet Union and work their way through Cuba and other countries.
Mr. Secretary, can we turn you to Poland just for a moment?
Sure. And
could you tell us if there's anything new on these reports of the maneuvers and preparations for maneuvers that the Warsaw Pact has been reportedly engaged in? And if so, if there's any indication that Soviets are in violation of either the spirit or the letter of the Helsinki agreements, which require about 21 days' notice of maneuvers involving more than 25,000 troops.
I don't know what notices have been given. I haven't seen any specific notices. There certainly are very extensive maneuvers as well as command post exercises that are apparently underway or about to begin. The Soviets have a very, very large military presence on each side of Poland, East Germany and on the east. And they have also a very large military presence already in Poland. There are two Soviet divisions that have been in Poland for a long time. And there are a large number of Soviet officers who are in high ranks of the Polish army. And one of the real problems here is to know when they have actually gone beyond what they have been doing for many years. I think there's a very new spirit in Poland, and I think that the Polish people themselves are very proud and very independent and would resent and resist as strongly as they could any further actual activity of the Soviets in moving into Poland. Whether the Soviets have maneuvers planned which come strictly within the letter or of the requirements of the Helsinki Accord, I don't know. But there is a certainly, as you pointed out, a substantial amount of activity which probably is designed for the most part to try to intimidate the Poles into dealing less liberally with the rising tide of freedom that we see now within the country.